Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, let's talk to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. And, man, after a 14-3 regular season, something special. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I mean, tremendous. I got snow out there, which I love. Now, Ray, I know for a lot of people that's a pain. Everyone be careful. It's coming down. But I love the snow. I love the Eagles. And, Ray, I love when our team has a real shot to win it all, and this team does. But before we get to that, let's just start Eagles-Packers. The early week Ray Diddy thoughts on the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers at Lincoln Financial Field. What are your early thoughts, Ray?
I think that people shouldn't take this one for granted. even though the Eagles beat them down in Brazil, and even though the Eagles are coming off a great season and Green Bay's a wild card and they lose to the Bears, and I know people's enthusiasm and excitement, they might get a little ahead of themselves and start looking ahead to, okay, who are we going to play next? I wouldn't look past these guys because they're a good team. And, you know, the scenario to me is a little too familiar. It makes me nervous because, you know, last year, Green Bay was exactly the same position. They're a wild card team. Going on the road to play the NFC East champs as pretty big underdogs, and we all know what they did to the Cowboys. They blew them out. I mean, at one point in that game, they had a 32-point lead. So this is exactly the same scenario for the Packers this year, going on the road as an underdog against the NFC East first-place team.
Sure.
And, you know, they're not to be taken lightly. I mean, the game, the opener, and I know it seems like 10 years ago, but you know, anybody who remembers that game knows that it was a game, you know, and back and forth. But Green Bay is a dangerous team. To me, they remind me a lot of the Eagles. I was looking at it last night. I mean, you know, they're like the Eagles. They're good along both lines, offensive line, defensive line. They've got good players up there. They're mostly homegrown. Guys that they drafted, guys that they developed. They both made big moves in the offseason to bring in a free agent running back. Eagles, obviously, with Barkley, and Green Bay with Jacobs. And they both made big improvements in the secondary, bringing in a new player. When the Eagles brought back Gardner Johnson, and Green Bay went and got Xavier McKinney. I mean, both of these teams, I don't want to say they're mirror images of each other, but they're certainly similar. And I think, look, I like the Eagles in this game, but this is not a team that you want to look past and start saying, okay, who's next? No, you got to deal with these guys first, and I don't ever expect these games to be easy.
This time of year, it really does. Everyone's pulling out all the stops, that's for sure. How surprised were you, Ray, last night with the dominance that Detroit displayed? Joe and I are both concerned about that potential NFC championship game on the road against a team that really looked dominant. I mean, they took it to another level last night.
Yeah, they did. They did. And I, you know, there's still, when I talk to people about this, and not people within the league, because people within the league and people that are really in the game, I mean, they know enough to take the pack, to take the Lions seriously. But the average guy, the average football fan, is just not conditioned to take the Lions seriously. I mean, there's yeah. people are looking at them and they're just saying, "Oh, that's it's the Lions." But no, these are different. This is a different breed of Lions. These guys, and I am really impressed with what they've done this year. I mean, they have suffered so many injuries. I mean, they have lost so many players, and have had so many opportunities when this season could have gone sideways on them, and it just has not happened. You know, and people are still waiting for Jared Goff to play like the old Jared Goff. And no, those days are in the past. I mean, the Lions are really good, and they proved it last night. I mean, everybody thought that this was going to be a, you know, four-quarter toe-to-toe job with these two 14-2 teams, and it wasn't really. I mean, that was the Lions' game.
Yeah, it really was.
It was. I mean, Minnesota had their opportunities in the first half. I mean, the three red zone possessions, all they got out of it was a couple of field goals, and the Lions just never let up. And they're an explosive team, and they're a dangerous team, and they're playing with incredible confidence. And, you know, if you have to go and play them in that dome, that's going to be a tough test. Now, again, that's down the road. You got to win a couple games to get there. But if it gets there, I think it's going to be a hell of a game, but it's also going to be a hell of a challenge.
Yep, I agree with all of that. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Snow is coming down, so be careful if you're driving. Obviously, if you got to get to a certain spot, give yourself some extra time to get there because it's going to be longer than usual to get to a spot. Ray Dittinger with us right now. All right, Ray, let's talk about Jalen. Haven't seen him for a couple weeks. Does rust concern you for the postseason as it relates to Jalen?
Mildly, because it's, you know, I just want to see his, this isn't just a rest thing. This isn't like we've just sat him out, you know, just to rest him. I mean, there's a legitimate concern here. I mean, that was obviously a pretty severe concussion. And so he's got to overcome that in addition to just the rust factor, not having been out there for a while. So to say that, oh, no, it doesn't matter, it's kind of foolish. No, it does matter. And now I believe that if he's fully recovered and physically he's okay, with a good week of practice, with a good hard week of practice, he should minimize the rust factor, and it shouldn't get in the way of him doing what he needs to do on Sunday. But, you know, first of all, is his physical condition. Am I concerned? Yes, to some degree I am. But, you know, it's not something that I think he can't overcome and play well. And the team, you know, the team right now is it's really come together. I mean, they really, I mean, top to bottom, if you look at their roster, boy, they're good. You know, they are really good. And the quarterback obviously has his job to do. And we've seen him this year when he's been running that engine. And he's the guy to do it. There's no question about that. But they're a really good team. And at home, you know, they've obviously proven that they're an incredibly good team. I mean, they're what, 21-5 in their last 26 games at home?
Incredible.
I mean, they're playing the Eagles here, especially in a big money game, in a postseason game. That's quite a challenge for anybody. But you need the quarterback. You need the quarterback playing like we know he can play if you really, really want to take a serious run at winning this whole thing.
So, Ray, hopefully it doesn't come to a backup QB scenario. That would be not good. But if it does, who do you think Sirianni should tab before the game as the designated number two quarterback? Kenny Pickett or Tanner McKay? We've seen them both the last couple of weeks. Who would you go with?
Yeah, I think, well, if Pickett's healthy, if Pickett's overcome his rib injury, I would probably lean towards him because, you know, he is the veteran, he is the more experienced guy. That would be the way I would go. Now, McKee has been impressive in everything you've asked him to do. I mean, in the preseason he's played very well. We saw all that, but of course that's just the preseason. Yesterday he was really good, I thought. I mean, he was so calm. He was so assured out there. He seemed to, you know, he saw the field really well. He got the ball to eight different receivers. He never panicked. He never looked flustered. Threw the ball with a lot of accuracy. He threw the deep out ball extremely well. I mean, he had a couple of those that were really good throws. And, you know, the thing that surprised me a little bit about McKee was, you know, the reason that he was a sixth-round draft choice out of Stanford was because the knock on him was he had zero mobility. The knock on him was he was a pure pocket passer. I mean, he was to the point of being a statue. And yesterday, right from the very first snap, I mean, the Eagles had him on the move. They had him, you know, bootlegging and rolling out and throwing on the run.
A lot more athletic than I realized.
Yeah, a lot more. I think a lot more than anybody knew, yeah. John. I mean, that was. I mean, that was why. I mean, look, nobody quit. Everybody knew he had a big arm, and everybody knew he was an accurate passer. But the reason that teams were kind of brushing him off was, you know, in this era of mobile quarterbacks, and in this era of you want quarterbacks that can run RPO and things. I mean, he was not that. Nobody saw him right. as that. And I'm not suggesting that he is that, but the fact is what you saw yesterday was the Eagles were able to get him or move him around and get him outside and show some more mobility, I think, than anybody thought. And the rest of the game was all there. I mean, he was in total command of that game. And I thought that, you know, when you figure he's out there with very little running game to lean on, the Eagles couldn't run the ball very well at all. Yeah. And he's throwing to a lot of backup receivers. For him to perform the way he performed, I thought was really good. But getting back to Joe, your original question, if it comes to that game where I think that Nick has to designate who the number two is, he'll lean to the experience factor and designate Pickett.
Yeah, you got a guy who's been a starter in this league for multiple seasons, and then you've got a guy who's got one start under his belt. The Tanner McKee thing, it really did remind me, Ray, like his athleticism. I had the chance to do Joe Flacco's games when he was at Delaware. Giant man. I mean, 6'6" and a half, like Tanner McKee, massive with a bazooka for an arm, and he was running the zone read stuff at Delaware with aplomb. I mean, he was out there rolling, and I don't think people realize how athletic he was. You know what that became? Joe Flacco is still a guy that teams are hiring. Joe Flacco has been around this game forever.
No question.
And Tanner McKee has every opportunity to do the same thing. Joe Flacco eventually turned that into being a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yep.
Tanner McKee's got so many.
Yeah, I was very impressed by him. I really was.
To work with.
Similar traits. They are. I was very impressed with him. I really was. I mean, there were a couple of moments there where, you know, the Giants, you know, they began blitzing more. They began getting some pressure on him. And I wondered how he was going to react to that. Yeah. And he handled it really well. I mean, there were a couple of times where rushers came pretty free and were right in his face. And he knew exactly where his outlet was, got the ball there. And turned what could have been a sack into a pretty big play. So, I mean, very impressive top to bottom.
That man that's his man, he knows to get rid of it. That's really solid. So, are you worried about our kicker, Ray?
No. No. I mean, do I have the same level of confidence I had in him 2 years ago when they were in the last trip to the Super Bowl? No, because he's certainly had more ups and downs this year. But I believe in him. And I think that he's demonstrated that he's probably got to be your kickoff guy, too. I think that you can't afford to be giving away field position in any of these games now. And, Elliott can kick it through the end zone. So I think you need that. But if it comes down to a big kick, yeah, I still believe in him. I really do. I think that the first one that he missed yesterday was probably due to the conditions. I think it was probably...
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The win thing. But then he came back and hit a couple others that were pretty solid. So, no, I know he's had his ups and downs and... but I believe if it comes down to him making a big kick, he'll make it.
So, Ray, I'll tell you where I disagree with you on that one. Like, I'm not saying he's full-fledged Brad Lidge 2009, because it's not that bad. But we've seen guys before like Lidge and Jake Elliott who just deliver. I mean, just deliver. And then at a certain point, they don't. And I'm not worried about him next year. But I'm worried about him this month. Something to me does not look right, and it's been going on for 4 months now.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do, Joe? I mean, you're not going to go get somebody else.
No, so. I wouldn't now, but I did float a couple weeks ago. Maybe they should have. My point is, my answer to John's question would have been, yes, I'm worried. I'm sticking with him, but I'm worried.
It feels like an Achilles heel. It feels like something like, holy cow, if we have to have a 50-yard field goal to win a game.
Well, they might have to go for a 4th-and-7, John, to avoid that.
I would prefer to just go for it.
But that you don't want to be in a spot to feel like you have to go for a 4th-and-7. All right, Ray, a couple other things. Can you put into words the Nick Sirianni thing? I mean, first off, so many people wanted him gone after last year. So many people wanted him gone in September and October. I think, frankly, he turned in one of the great coaching performances I've ever seen in my life by a Philadelphia coach. Can you put into words from your perspective the Sirianni thing this year?
He wins. He wins, bottom line. That's it. I mean, is he unconventional? Yes. Is he, in terms of his behavior and his comportment, is he to everybody's taste? Probably not. We've already seen that. He's different in ways that, like, I've been covering Eagles coaches going all the way back to Jerry Williams in 1970. So I've seen a lot of them come and go. And this guy is a different breed of cat. I mean, there's no question about that. But with all coaches, it always comes down to the bottom line. The bottom line is, do they win? And this guy wins. You know, that's where I come down on it. And do the players believe in him? Yeah, it's pretty clear they do. Do they respond to him? Yeah, pretty clear they do. And he has a way of inspiring confidence in his team that's important this time of the year. I think that his personality, again, which is in a lot of respects I think kind of rubs people the wrong way, but it works with this particular group of guys. And when you get to play in these games against the kind of competition you're going to be facing now over the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, you need a coach that can, you know, push that emotional button and rally the troops. And Nick Sirianni can do that. So, yeah, I mean, it's there's some times with him. I mean, some of the things he does even within games, some of the decisions he makes within games, I mean, make me scratch my head. But the guys here trust him, and they believe in him. And, you know, the Eagles have won. Look, the Eagles won a Super Bowl with a coach that nobody wanted and nobody thought was really a head coach.
Same thing with the Phillies, right, with Charlie Emanuel. I mean, people were ready to run him out of town.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the difference there is everybody kind of knew who Charlie was. I mean, Charlie had a track record from his days managing in the American League, and he had one over there. I mean, he was kind of a known quantity. Now, his personality and the country bumpkin kind of thing was a little bit different than what we had seen here before. But at least everybody, you know, they knew, hey, listen, this guy's won before. You know, he won with the Indians. It's not an easy thing to do. So there was that level of assurance that you kind of had based on his pedigree. You know, when Doug came in, Doug had no pedigree. I mean, you know, no other team even interviewed Doug that year when he was up for the job.
Did other teams interview Nick Sirianni?
I don't think so.
No one.
No. I mean, a lot of this goes back to Jeff Lurie and his decision making. I mean, if you look at, I mean, I don't want to point fingers here, but just for an example, for an instance, look at the Giants. I mean, look at the coaching. Look at the coaching thing up there. What a mess. I mean, they're changing coaches like every 2 years, and they're down to the point now where they might have to change again. And, you know, you look at Jeff Lurie's history here, every coach he's hired, I mean, they've all been pretty much unknown. I mean, the one that was the most known probably was Chip.
Clearly.
And he was coming from college. He never coached in the NFL. So there was a large degree of questioning about all of those guys, and they all came in here and won to varying degrees. And, you know, I saw that. I mean, you look at Lurie's track record here, and it's just amazing for its consistency. I mean, how he's built this team and sustained it, and kept that level where they're in it all the time. I mean, I saw they gave him the game ball after the game yesterday because it was his 500th win as the owner. 300th. But equally impressive. Equally impressive was the fact that this is his 19th trip to the postseason. You know how hard that is to do in the NFL? But they've done it. And, you know, for a franchise that's struggled for a long, long time, and I mean decades, to try and win anything, you know, to be as consistent a winner as this team has been under his stewardship, it's a tremendous credit to him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it all kind of starts at the top. If you have bad ownership, it's real hard to overcome that. But if you have good ownership, you have a chance.
Totally agree.
Jeff Lurie has given the Eagles that chance for a real long time.
Ray, I love it. I also love that Tommy and me's back, and I believe the new, I'll call it season, run. I don't know what the theater terms are, run. Re-debut tomorrow, is that correct?
We debut tomorrow.
That's
tomorrow,
awesome.
Tomorrow is opening night, and we run through the entire month, and we close on February 1st. So we'll be at the People's Light Theater out in Malvern. And, I think like 10 of the shows are already sold out. So if you want to come out, go online, People's Light Theater in Malvern, order your tickets and come on out and see it. we had a dress rehearsal last night, and it went great. I mean,
good.
Really, really exciting, and I hope a lot of folks come out and join us.
Ray, I love it. Well, Richie's hoping you go out and join him today when he sleds, so I'm expecting to see the Diddy sledding.
Yeah,
you better believe it, Ray.
Oh, he's taking up the luge now, eh?
Hey, Ray, happy New Year to you, and we'll talk to you next week after the Eagles-Packers game. Thanks, Ray.
All right. Look forward to it.
There he is, Ray. The Hall of Famer, the Diddy.